Yeah. Ricardo, Josh, and Michael on the airwaves. Starting it off with that drink of the day. Just a little banter, then we hit in the topics. This ain't just a segment, nah, we spitting logic. And ending it with the final thoughts. Cause this podcast headed straight to the top. Yeah, so get ready, go ahead and sit back. Cause you are now tuned to the Warehouse Rant.
And we are back.
We are black.
No. All right. It is, in fact, the Warehouse Raz podcast. We're back once again. It's been a minute.
It's been a really long minute. I would say it's like what episode or not episode? Season three.
Season three.
Relaunched. As you can tell, there's a new intro song and. Yeah, we're really excited about this this new season.
Mm-hmm. New season, new direction,
new intro.
This is not the same show you remember, but it's the same beautiful faces. If you forgot who we are, I am Josh.
I am Ricardo.
And you may remember a particular person who had the title of Fluffernutter. Sadly enough, that title has gone away. He is now a host. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time on the Warehouse Rats podcast, host number three, previously known as the Fluffernutter, Mr. Micah.
Welcome, Micah.
Thank you for that wonderful intro, guys. It's been a long road as a Fluffernutter. Trying times, but to make it to the big times and the final stage and, you know, finally get my show moment, I'm ready to perform.
I feel like you just got like a sports contract or something. First draft pick. See, I said the words, but I don't know what any of it means.
Well, so. I'm actually an expert at drafting. Call me the Draft King. No sponsor or relation to DraftKings, but if you want to sponsor us, you're more than welcome to. Yeah.
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 All right. Micah, we're very excited that you're a host. Ricardo and I have been talking about this since the very first time that you were on the Warehouse Rats, and we're like, man, we got to get him to be a host. And Ricardo's like, nah, man, I don't think so. Man, he's always going after the ladies. So, you know, Fridays is his lady night. And yeah. I was like, we got to make it happen. So, it, for us, it was a long road, and it finally happened, so it's very exciting.
I appreciate the both of you, and yes, this is true. I'm giving up a fluffing opportunity on a Friday evening to be with two wonderful guests, Josh and Ricardo. Mm. It's a pleasure. Man, I've made it.
No, I think that I remember after the first episode, you were on. We wanted you back, and there's some situations. I don't want, you know, dig too deep, right? But where, because of scheduling conflicts, mostly women.
It was contractual.
Whoa, I don't know if that's exactly legal.
Like
money-wise?
It's like
I was getting paid to service, yes.
You had to service some... Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Change the oil.
There you go. Change the oil. Yep. You had to put the dipstick in there.
Sometimes hold.
Oh.
Hopefully you had enough lubricant in that dipstick and that oil. All
right, guys. We're going into a weird direction here. So I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty thirsty.
I am too.
So for old listeners and newer listeners, our next little bit here is our drink of the day. So I have been seeing this drink pop up on TikTok a lot lately.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? Everybody keeps saying that it's really tasty. So I was like, we got to try it. This is a Corona Sunrise. So I figured it worked because one, we're working our way out of the darkness that was 2020 / Corona.
Oh.
And so we're heading towards the sunrise, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's Corona beer, obviously. Shot of tequila, some orange juice. There's a lime wedge in there. And then, shit, what's the red stuff? Was it Jardine or?
Grenadine.
Grenadine, Jardine, same thing. I can speak English well.
Sure, yeah.
Well, it's red.
Who am I to correct your English?
All right. So when you pour it correctly, it looks like a sunrise.
Right. Oh, is that why?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. There you go. We didn't do that this time. So it looks red. It smells kind of tasty. I've never had one before, so this does have the potential to be awful. I'm just going to warn you right now.
Right.
I mean, like, I like Corona.
I still drink it.
Though. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely drink it. But I'm just saying, I can't guarantee this is going to taste
anything
good.
Right.
Everybody I see drink it say, they go, oh, it's so good.
But what if? This is like the new drink. Like, what if this is like the fucking?
It can be. Tequila is the worst. Yeah. I was hesitant to go to do it because there's tequila in it. So hey, episode 1, season 3, Warehouse Rats Reimagined.
Oh, reimagined.
Cheers.
Cheers, relaunched. Guys.
Reconsider. Oh.
So prior to tasting, the initial aroma was skunky.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Not gonna lie, guys, I'm a little disappointed. I'll drink it, just so I can say I drank it. I'm not crazy now, about it.
Okay, so there are things that you can improve on, right? We all have things that we can improve on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's not your fault. It's nobody's fault, but the beer's fault. It's not as cold as it should be. It probably feels a little bit colder. See, Corona. Hold on. Let me get this mic correctly because I am a Corona expert.
Oh. Like
the virus or the
both? I would say you can't say that without definitely being specific.
No, I am a Corona expert. I used to back in the day when it was free. I had a lot of drunk people that were around me back in the day, and they had jobs, and they used to buy Corona. So, yeah, Corona is very, very, what's the word, sensitive, you know what I mean? So, it doesn't take very much for it to go bad, in my opinion.
In taste, not necessarily in quality.
Yeah, exactly.
In taste.
So there's a level of, if it gets a little too warm, and I'm talking like freaking few degrees,
like what beer temperature is supposed to be, like 40 degrees, so like 40.2 degrees.
What'd you say it was supposed to be?
I think beer at like its peak cool, I believe, is 40 degrees.
Okay,
the beer experts probably are going, oh my god, no it's not, if it's wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be 40 degrees.
So not to get too much off the topic, right? Well, I mean, it is
too late,
right? So I used to work with this guy that he was German ancestry, supposedly. And he said, and I heard this before afterwards too. He said that beer back in Germany, right, the proper way to serve beer was kind of like, I want to say lukewarm, but definitely not cold like we like it and most people like it. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm.
See, like, I want to respect other people's cultures and everything, but when people tell me that they wouldn't serve me a warm beer and that's how it's supposed to be served, I kind of wanted to say fuck off and then, you know, be on my way.
I have no respect for them.
Well, I mean, that seems a little harsh, but no, yeah.
So my brother, he had some beer, some, like, tall boys, right? And, he's like, you want a tall boy? I was like, yeah, fuck it. And I was on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, but they're not cold. He's like, I prefer them like this. I'm just like, I looked at him like, what the fuck are you talking about? He's like, yeah, they have a like little almost sweet taste to it. I'm like, sure, okay. I mean, I could respect that a little bit because you're my brother and I don't want to get in a fight with you right now. But
that's fair.
But if you weren't my relative, I would definitely be like, what the fuck? Like, are you serious right now? Like, but I still drank it though. It got me really fucked up though because it wasn't like warm, but it was definitely not cold.
Yeah. No, especially like when you're outside and it's hot.
Yeah.
Beer's gotta be cold. Oh, yeah. Gotta be cold.
There's actually a not exactly too sure on this, but Brazil, they have a specific term. I don't speak Portuguese, so I'm not too sure, but their beer is like, I would say like a degree above freezing.
Hmm.
Right? So if it's not cold enough, they most of the time they'll send it back and say, hey, this is not cold enough. You know what I mean? So
that sounds good.
Yeah, like almost, I want to say like not like a layer of ice, but
your fingers will stick just a little bit when you first grab it. Yeah. Oh, that sounds awesome.
I like that sticky icky.
I think we're talking about different things here. Yeah, so smell, like, it's not even pleasant to smell. And so that has nothing to do with, like...
So I think once you get to the bottom a little bit, or to the middle, hey.
Okay. And then what about the drink?
Hey.
There you go.
I think it tastes okay. I mean, I want to say it would be my favorite. But I'll start drinking it, though. What do you think, Micah?
I think it's predominantly Everfresh orange juice right now is what I'm getting.
Okay.
But I'll also say I'm starting to get a little headache, and that's because of tequila.
Damn, that was quick.
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. So, yeah, it's always been a challenge for me with tequila. I think it's just something I've developed because I've been so... messed up on tequila before.
Oh, have you really?
And the next days are pretty horrible. Oh, so yeah. I think my body's just developed a reaction to saying it's tequila, like, headache, stop now.
It's kind of like your antibody for tequila.
Well, cool callback to your first episode with us. We did tequila. It was sangria and tequila. And I don't know why, but for some reason I thought the sangria was just like a flavor additive.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I was pouring them hard. The next day, we were making eggs for the kids. One smell, and I was like, nope. And so I sat on the couch. I didn't move for the rest of the day. I felt so terrible. And then, like, I had to go back down to the studio and, like, clean up and stuff like that. And just the smell of it, like, in the basement, I was like, oh, my God. And I'm like, if I was ever going to throw up, right now would be the time.
I think I've had I had bad experience with tequila as well. I think that's why I don't like it too much. I've had another drink that I have a hard time literally swallowing would be Malibu. Malibu, for some odd reason, like, I had a really bad experience with that. I got stupid drunk, like, stupid. Like, I was, like, freshly out of high school, and we were at a party, actually, and they kept offering me and shit. I was like, okay. So I was just, like, dying, and, like, it was nothing and shit. All of a sudden, like, I felt like my body just kind of became, like, a little fucking, like, not a little because I've been big, but like a fucking spaghetti, you know what I mean? Like a meatball spaghetti. I don't want to say a meatball spaghetti. Like a spaghetti. Like a loose spaghetti.
Like a noodle?
A noodle. There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Noodle. My bad.
Did someone take advantage of you?
There was a lot of fucking.
Okay.
I don't know if...
Of you?
I was saying, were you there, or were you just fucking adjacent?
No, this is a weird thing, right? Ironically enough, I was trying to catch a nap, and it seems like everywhere I would go, people were hooking up, and I'm just like, bro, I'm fucking wasted. I'm just like, all I hear is boning and a lot of, you know...
That's why you go in and just kind of push him. Hey, scoot over. I gotta pass out for a few minutes.
I was pretty messed up, but nice. Yeah, I wasn't. Nobody took advantage of me that I know of. Because at that time, I still remember pretty good. Nowadays, if that would happen to me, I probably wouldn't remember anything, just because I'm older now and my mind is half dead, so I don't have as many cells to remember stuff. So that's my.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah. Okay. So, final thoughts on Corona Sunrise.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, McCarr.
Okay. I would give it a 6.5 out of 10. 10 being the best.
That's it. That's fair.
I think it's not the worst thing that I've had.
Right.
Tequila definitely does have a specific taste that is kind of. You know, yucky.
Yucky. Very nice.
But I think that the sweetness of it, I think it does help. But again, I think it has to do with the temperature. So temperature, I think if it was a little bit colder, I think it would definitely help.
That's fair. All right, Micah.
In its current state, I don't think you can grade it, just because it is not served over ice or chilled. So I don't think we're getting the natural flavors that we should be experiencing.
That's right.
We're experiencing a lukewarm dry fuck right now.
Oh.
So based on the evidence, which is another bottle, one of his brothers, it was cold. It was definitely cold because it is sweating. So condensation. Mm-hmm. I learned that in science. Yeah, I think, I don't know what could have been better. So mm-hmm. I take that back, and I'll probably give it a 6 because I think it was mm-hmm. cold enough. Right. Something wasn't really, was the orange juice not cold enough? Oh, I take that back. I'll go back to a 6. I take that a 6.
All right. So for me, it's taste. I like the temperature of it. I mean, isn't ideal. But it's not a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot worse, a lot warmer, which has been very unfortunate.
Right.
It's just not very good. Like, I don't taste the beer at all. I taste the orange juice and the tequila. And the funny thing is, there's way more beer in here than tequila. So with the amount of stuff that's in here, I shouldn't be able to taste the tequila. But I do, and it's unpleasant.
So I think maybe... maybe like the actual, like the recipe,
mm-hmm.
which I don't think you really had a recipe per se.
No, I did.
You did? Okay.
Yeah.
What was the recipe? Can you let us know?
I can actually, because I, felt like I needed to do my research and actually like figure out the whole, you know, setup. So it's
right.
One bottle of Corona.
Okay. You got that one.
1.5 ounces of tequila, 1.5 ounces of orange juice, 1/2 ounce of the
Grenadine.
Yep, there you go. And then 1 lime wedge.
Okay. Did you squeeze the lime wedge?
No. But see, the way I always saw it prepared is they didn't squeeze it either. They just shoved it right in, like, because when I watch, they actually make it right in the bottle.
Yeah. No, yeah, for sure.
And then, you know, they do it that, but it's like...
I always kind of wanted to try it, too, so mm-hmm. I'm kind of I'm thankful that I got to experience this because I've always seen it on TikTok. I know you don't have TikTok, Micah, but we'll get you on there with some midgets.
Oh, that's a discussion for a whole nother time. So, drink of the day, ladies and gentlemen, was the Corona Sunrise. It may be for some, it may not be for others. Mm-hmm. Make your own opinion. Make it yourself, or order it when you go out to your favorite watering hole, and let us know what you think. We're gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna be back in just a few minutes. And we're back.
We're black?
No. So, again, since this is the Warehouse Rats Reimagined, our next segment is called Let's Talk About It, where every week one of us brings a question to the group. We discuss it, and we try to find some common ground because we got a very dynamic little gathering here.
Right.
And it's cool to hear everybody's opinions and thoughts on stuff. So I'm kind of excited about this.
Yeah, I think it's because we all come from different places in a sense. You know what I mean? So Josh, you come from the north of Michigan, which is I've never been to the north. Hey, now that I think about it, mm-hmm. just a little ad here.
Mm-hmm.
Me and Mike are gonna go to up north next week. So
you taking a trip together?
Popping his cherry.
Yeah.
Oh.
Up well. Whoa.
Up northern Michigan. Sorry.
No, and like I said, with Josh, you grew up in mm-hmm. somewhere up north, mm-hmm. which is to me, anyways, totally different mm-hmm. compared to down here. Micah, you were raised in, you know. Ported Kalamazoo, something.
In Kalamazoo.
Okay, Kalamazoo.
I don't identify as white.
Well, that's the other thing too. That's the other thing too is that you were raised in a very
very diverse,
and the brown person, which is me, was raised in a very
no color on the radio.
Right. You got great skin for radio, kid.
Yeah, exactly right. I was raised in a very homogenous place, let's just put it like that, and the homogeny being of Caucasian descent.
I will say, to your guys' trip, I'm very excited about that. If you take 131 all the way, You will, in fact, drive through my old stomping grounds. And I will say, there is a tank.
That's what we're going, yep.
You're going to stop at the tank? Yes.
I took a picture of it last time I was nice. Up there. Nice. I sent it to Ricardo.
That's so fucking sweet.
I might actually get on the tank and piss off of it.
Oh, do it, man. I mean. I did it. You might. Granted, I was like 5, but I mean, do it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited about it. Like, I've always heard about the North. With my
we're not talking about Canada.
But I've been to a lot, I'm not gonna say a lot of places, but I've been to some parts of the U.S. and just going up north, I never really looked at it as kind of like a vacation in a sense. I don't know, it's kind of weird. I mean, because you don't leave the state per se, so it was never even though they do say, like, if you're a Michigander, you know, in the summers you go up north. I've never been up north, so you know. North of,
it's something else, especially when you cross over the bridge.
Right,
it honestly feels like you've left the state, but that's just how cool Michigan is.
It's practically Canada the way I look at it.
We'll get you in touch with your roots.
All right, guys, we need to talk about something.
Oh snap! Let's talk about it.
So, We all work together in our respective departments or areas of expertise.
Yes, sir.
Unfortunately.
Now, for the listeners, I want to say that I trained both of these guys. They know everything because of me.
And a lot of things we don't know because of him. Just, I mean, there's two sides to every coin.
Those are factual statements.
That's true.
There you go. So, we've all been there for quite a while. I'm next month will be 4 years for me.
Congrats.
How long have you been there, Micah?
I think I'm going on 5.
Right on. Okay.
So I think on May 28th, but who's counting?
We've already passed May 28th.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On May 28th, that was my eighth year anniversary. Oh. So you know.
You're almost a lifer. Two more years, you've started a lifer.
Call you professor.
I'm a doctor right now. My doctorate. Yeah, so yeah, 8 years.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of weird shit, but yeah.
So now, I don't know about you guys, but before that, any other job I had, I held it minimally a year.
Right.
I think the shortest job I ever had was a seasonal position at GameStop. Mm-hmm. So that was literally for a month and a half. Shortest job I've ever had. Other than that, it's been a year plus. Now, I've met some individuals where they'll have 5 jobs in a month and a half or 2 months. So my question is, why do you think it's so easy for certain people to jump from job to job compared to us institutional guys who stay for years at a time?
So, let me go first, Micah.
Go for it.
All right. So I honestly think where we work at in particular, it's a very special place. Meaning, you do not have to be the best to work there, but you have to definitely be special. Meaning, you have to have a strong shoulders. You gotta have strong shoulders and a big head. No. I don't know. So I think that there's a lot of people that the people that have a lot of jobs, I feel that it's not that they don't want to have a long job. I feel that they're just not very good at their jobs. I mean, I don't think that they really know what they want in life, you know what I mean? And they're not as level-headed as most people, right? Because no matter what job you go to, you're always going to find something that's not the best for you in particular, right? So you might go to a job and you might dislike somebody that's, you know, kind of on your nerves, or you gets on your nerves, whatever. Your boss might be not the best, or you know, let's say one of your coworkers, or your functions might not be the best either. And they'll put any little reason to go somewhere else, you know. And the more you know, like I said, the more they do it, the easier it gets to leave a job, you know. For me, I've only had like about 3 jobs. I mean, technically speaking, my first job, I was there for about 2 years. My second job, I was there for about 2 years, 2.5 years, roughly. And then this last job, which I have right now, where I work right now, I've had for 8 years. So, yeah, it's not, I mean, it's not, for me, the biggest thing is like, just being, being able to, or just knowing how to get away with things and, or not get away with things, but now you're looking at me weird.
I got, it's just my face.
Okay. It's just knowing, like looking at the positive side to me, even though I've been leaving for about 8 years now, I look at it and say, you know what? There's other jobs that are worse. And, you know, luckily for us, they've always kind of thrown a little bit more money at us, except for lately. But but hopefully they will.
Mr. Micah?
I think right now it's easy to find a level of comfort after a certain amount of years. And we're blessed to work for a large-scale company. I'd call it corporate. And with a corporation, there's stability. And with stability comes benefits. There's a lot of job opportunities out there that don't offer that stability and you know, benefits. So for ourselves, me in particular, that stability is something I find comfort in. Now, for others that bounce from job to job, I also kind of envy them because they're ambitious. You know, I'm not going to. I agree with your previous statement saying the work ethic may not be the best, but maybe it's not the best because they're not focused. And the reason they're not focused or engaged is because they don't have an interest in it. And with ambition and working many jobs, you find interest.
But do you think that they'll eventually find a job that's beneficial to them, like that will meet their highest expectations, or will cross off everything like on their list? Or do you think that they might not have?
I think for the majority, no, but I think there's a select few that will find that. The majority that come through, you know, the 5+ years or however long we've been there. Gosh, yeah, I just think we're hiring the wrong talent, to be honest with you. Okay. Yeah, they're kind of lost in a sense in that regard. But again, I admire their ambition because I can say, you know, I'm not completely thrilled, but there's comfort, there's stability. I know what I'm walking into, but there's also a side of me that really just wants to get up and experience something new.
It's kind of, you said it perfectly, because I didn't quite say it the way that you said it, but it's exactly what I was thinking too. Is like, they find the being comfortable at a job, you know, find the stability or whatever. And I actually I looked up the word that I was looking for, which is institutionalized, right?
Prisoners to the system.
Right. Pretty much kind of the dictionary says established in practice or custom. So pretty much, you know, saying that it's like it's almost a custom. Like, you go in and you know what you can get away with, you know, which is the weird part, right? But you go in there and, at least for me, I try to make the best of it, you know. So, but it is kind of weird for people who've been there for freaking, you know, we have coworkers that are like been there for 30, 40 years. I'm just like, man, I've been trying to leave for the last 8 years. So, yeah, I don't know.
How about yourself, Josh?
I had my head set up until you mentioned people who had been at one job for so long. When I think of people who have spent essentially, you know, half their life definitely a quarter of their life at one place, I assume, you know, you definitely have to be at a particular point. And when you're not, I'm like, okay, so is that just lack of interest in moving up, or is that lack of education, lack of opportunity, you know, stuff like that? But then I also think about the people who jump job to job. Why are they jumping job to job? It can't be benefits. Is it the work? Do they not like the work? Are they just trying to figure out what they do like? Are they being too picky? But then, like, hearing what you guys are saying about being comfortable, there is something very comfortable about
institutional.
Yeah. You know, you drive into work, you can, like, you know what? I can expect A, B, and C. But then it's going to be just kind of a normal day.
Right.
Recently, we had somebody who left work who had gotten a new job. She had posted something about how it felt at her new job, like it was like the first day of school.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Getting into a new place, you're in the new kid, you don't know anything. Like, and I can speak from experience. When I started at where we are, I didn't know anything. I had never worked in
a Josh Mo.
Yeah. Yeah. Motherfucker. So never had any factory or warehouse experience ever. And my main job was driving a forklift for 9 hours a day. Mm. So right out of the gate, I had no idea what I was doing. Yeah. And so it was very uncomfortable for the first like few weeks. Yeah. I felt so uncomfortable because I felt so out of my element. Mm-hmm. Because my jobs, I worked the first real job I had 3 years was at a restaurant. Then I had a year and a half at a department store, then 7 years at a screen printing company. And then 3 years at a different screen printing company. And then I got my first kind of warehouse experience at a distribution center
right. For
a delivery service. And then I ended up where we are now.
Right.
So the experience I had was so varied that none of it really fed into where we are. Mm-hmm. And it was so weird and so foreign that, but now it's like, oh, okay. I gotta go to work. See you later. You know?
Yeah, that's a weird thing because I remember my first jobs, my first days. You know, like the three jobs. And even I forgot about I worked at Domino's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I remember my first day. And it seems like every time I start a job, and I guess it's maybe just like the beginning of something new that's mm-hmm. totally different. It seems like every time I start a job, it is freaking like chaotic. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So. I don't know about the first job that I had, but that one in particular, I don't think it was chaotic, but for the most part, almost all of them have been out of the norm mm-hmm. for the most part, according to them, not me, but according to the people who've been there for a while or worked there. They say, their words are in particular, they say, like, don't let this scare you. This is not normal, you know?
But then that turns out to be the name.
right. No, I remember Domino's in particular, man. I went in there my first day, and it was just like you had people coming in, and they were like, it was a college in Austin. We live in a college town, so, and it was right next to campus, and mm-hmm. it was just like people were coming in, and it was the first day of like class, and people were coming in, and I'm just like, it was.
I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. Like, I would tell them, I was like, this is my first day. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. And I was just standing there, and my manager just kind of looked at me and was like, okay, I know this is a lot to take in, but this is not every day. This is just, you know, it's first day, so, you know, we have a lot of customers, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't find out. It wasn't like, that wasn't the case all the time, but most of the time it was right. definitely very hectic. So, mm-hmm. yeah, I don't understand how people can have that, so many first days. I don't know. It's just, to me, it's crazy.
I would hate that feeling. Yeah. Constantly being that feeling of, but see, that's also with our opinion on what first days are like. There are some people, they live for that shit where they're like, oh, new experience, sweet chaos, and
maybe they get a rush out of it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Fuck
okay.
those people, because I hate that.
Yeah, I guess I never really thought about that. You know, they get a rush out of it. Mm. Do you remember your first time?
I do. So
no, wait, no, job. Oh, job.
First job. First time? First day?
Yes, first day of first job.
Okay, first day of first job. First real job. That was probably Thermo Fisher. Ricardo trained me. Similar to you, Josh, I was running a forklift with I had no idea what I was doing. First time in a warehouse setting, very overwhelming. And I'll be honest, I was like, what the fuck did I just sign up for? I contemplated leaving after the first day.
Yeah.
Then I sat at home and really thought about, it's like, you know, this is a large corporation. There's a lot of opportunity. Let's stick it out, mm-hmm. and let's try and climb the ranks. Mm. So going back to talking about lifers and whatnot, I think you kind of have two kinds of people. You have people that are comfortable in a setting. They have a simple way of life, which is a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. And with that, it turns into a lifelong career,
right.
Whether that be enjoying the culture, the line of work is stress-free, or they're just really enjoy doing what they do. Now you have the second half of someone that wants to climb the ranks. And I think continually staying at a job long enough, a large corporation, you have the opportunity to move through the institutionalized system, you know, and going on the other half of the setting of people that don't stay very long. Again, that could be ambition, lack of desire,
right.
being lost. But you also have the others that might be chasing a quick buck.
Right.
You have others that are so ambitious and just have a skill set that they're trying to build this resume to potentially maybe be a CEO someday.
Right. Yeah, I could definitely see how there are some people that I work with some, you know, not now, but I have worked with some people that felt that their skill level was superior to a lot of people, right? And maybe that in general too can be something that will drive a lot of people to not work at a certain place or keep going from job to job to job because they feel like their skill level is so superior, which is kind of be the truth, but most likely it's not the truth. I think that can lead to a lot of people like skipping from job to job, which is really really weird to think about because there's a lot of people that are out there that are not as good as they think, you know,
right?
Including myself, including myself. Guys, this is where you say no. You're
good. Oh,
sorry,
you're great. Like the best.
You're a really good person.
Yeah.
Like
that doesn't have anything. Like,
oh, sorry.
Like I wish you had a title of like a specialist or something because I mean that would fit you so perfectly.
Somebody still a little.
Shut up. Anyways, so, oh fuck. All right, guys. Let's wrap this up here real quick. So last quick statements on our discussion here, Micah.
With that jumping job to job, I think it's again has to do with ambition, maybe a lack of desire, feeling lost. For all those lifers out there, maybe you're not as special as you think.
Ooh, that's good.
Nice. Ricardo.
I think that overall, your path is your decision. There's no wrong and right way to do it as long as you're really providing for your family, you know, or for yourself. As long as you're making that money and you feel comfortable jumping from job to job or whether you're staying at the same job, as long as you're providing for your family, whether it's yourself or you're paying your rent, your bills, and not living off the government, you know, more power to you. You know, whatever works for you.
Indeed.
Josh?
As somebody who works a job, the same job for a while, I mean, I can't imagine hopping from job to job. So definitely I get the lifers, the being comfortable, stuff like that. I get it. Mm-hmm. The people who jump job to job, I envy you.
I definitely envy you. Yeah, yeah.
Because you definitely have a spice of life that I probably won't experience. So that's pretty cool. So.
Yeah, can you imagine how many people they meet on a daily basis, but just kind of like on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I mean, we you know, we all kind of meet people that go to the where we work at, especially me because I'm a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So I see a lot more people, talk to a lot more people, and they don't last. But I just kind of interesting at being on the opposite end of the, you know, how many people they see, how many people do they train. You know what I mean? It's just, or how many, not how many people they train, but how many people they train with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think it's interesting.
Interesting. Very nice. All right, folks, we're going to take one last break before we wrap it up for this night. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, friends. Ian here. Do you enjoy atypical conversations about history? Do you like an occasional sip or three of whiskey? Then come on over to the Bar of Questionable Life Choices and join me for an episode of Why Whiskey. We're a history podcast with a whiskey problem. Or maybe we're a whiskey podcast with a history problem. We'll let you decide all that. On Why Whiskey, I'm often joined by guests as we cover historical events in America and around the world and the people that were involved. Throughout the show, we will taste a wide variety of whiskeys and share some knowledge about what it is that we are drinking. So if any of this interests you, come on up to the bar, grab a glass, and let's share some great stories. Cheers.
All right, we're back. We're
black.
You gotta stop with that.
I mean, where it counts.
Right.
The head, the brain.
Oh, dang it. I don't have my buttons. Hang on. Nope. There it is.
Wrong one.
Anyways. So.
Fail.
Here's our new last segment where we're each given a little bit of time to just get something off our chest. Mm. Whatever it is, you know.
Yeah.
Whether it's our clothes or just some emotions or just something. Just our 5 minutes of fame, if you want to call it. Mm. So
the spotlight's on you, warehouse rat.
Okay, it got really weird in here. All right, Micah, go, bro.
Wow, this came at me real fast, real quick.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Hey, that's
Ricardo,
what she said?
You kind of opened up with this up north cherry popping.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Nice. I guess me and Josh know you very well.
Right.
As friends, as working professionals in the industry.
Right.
And as co-hosts. So you're a very sociable guy, but you also refer to yourself as you get homesick,
right.
which throws me off as someone that's so sociable, wants to travel. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to arrange a trip with you for a few years, and for it to finally come into light is just mind boggling. And I'm actually very nervous because all the pressure is on me, and yeah. I'm worried about you getting homesick.
No.
So how can
show
you assure
a good time?
Me? Well, I mean, I'm. Sorry. Okay. Yes. Cherry pop. Yeah. So, what are your thoughts about this trip? What do you want to experience? What do you want out of it? Are you going to get homesick? Because I'm nervous, man. I don't know what to expect from you.
So I thank you, Micah, for that lovely introduction. No, I don't think I will get homesick, to be honest. The only reason I say that is because I think that if I was like more than a week away from home, I guess I can feel that I would be homesick, right? Mm. Now, granted, I do have two homes, right? I have my apartment. Just let the listeners know that I do have my own apartment. I don't live at home.
He's single too.
I am single, bilingual, ready to mingle. And he, I like that. Oh, that's
nice. You said it really well too.
No, I think that. I mean, if it was more than a week, I even like on vacations that I've had before, like I kind of want to go home after a week, mm-hmm. not even a week. Sometimes I'm just like, I'm ready to go home, just back to my routine and just kind of like, you know, I'm ready to go back to life. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's not that I'm homesick. Like I don't miss anybody in particular, you know, per se. In this situation, this is before my dad had a stroke, right? In this situation, my dad did have a stroke, my dad had a stroke. I guess I have the routine of going home like every other day or so, every 2 days. And I think that's just kind of the routine that I have now. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I think that was just my, I guess that's my new norm. You know what I mean? And I think because for a while my dad was very sentimental, if that's the correct word to use. It was a little bit different. It was a little weird. You know, we've always had a really good relationship, so I think that was kind of one of the reasons that I was a little hesitant about it at first. Now that my dad is definitely not 100%, right? But he's, you know, like I was talking to Josh earlier today. He's definitely, I would say, almost back to his norm a little bit. not physically, but just mentally back to his norm. I don't have a problem with staying out a lot more days. Would I have my expectations, or not expectations, but what I hope, I just want to experience.
Yeah, what are you looking to experience on this trip? I'm very curious. You haven't said much other than we're going up north.
So, I just, well, I know you don't like the touristy part, right? And I think that's where I think that I thank you, because we have a very even, I won't say even, but
we're not camping. I wanted to camp the whole time. Separate well, times.
So this is where I'm coming from on that aspect of it, right? Is because even though I grew up in town, a small town, camping for me doesn't have the same what's the word I'm trying to use? Doesn't have the same feeling that somebody from the city would have, right? Because it's kind of like I'm used to it.
See, like, I grew up in the country. I still love camping. Not, like, there's, right. Let me tell you, the feeling of waking up in a tent while it's still fairly cool.
Is it pitched, though?
Huh?
Is it pitched?
It's always pitched. Waking up in a tent while it's still kind of cool out in a sleeping bag and you can smell other campfires is literally one of the best things ever.
Okay. So, on that note, I think that's why I'm not, because I never really experienced it, right? I never really experienced that type of, that, I've never been camping before.
Will you allow it, though?
Oh, yeah.
I question you on that, because okay. I've asked many times, and in the initial beginning, you say, yeah, I'm about it. And then when it comes to put the, words into action, putting words into action. You're like, nah, yeah, no. So we're going to ease you into the upcoming trip.
Yeah.
It's
going
to be too touristy. We're going to stay in hotels, separate rooms.
Right.
What?
One room.
Sounds like a lot of extra money.
One bed.
Well.
One room, two beds.
One room, one bed.
I mean, y'all got the same bits. I mean, everybody's seen it.
Yeah, spoon.
I don't know what he's like at night. He might sleepwalk. He might take advantage of me. There's a lot of variables.
No, I think that, like I said, I guess... When I think of vacation, that's just my perspective. And remember, my perspective is my reality, right?
Motherfucker.
getting deep on.
I guess when I think of a vacation, I automatically do not think, you know, of camping, right? Camping up north.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of a vacation, I think of like nice little touristy spot where I can, you know, go to the bar and be like, waiter, a beer, please. And almost kind of like in a non bad ways, have kind of think like you have a butler, you know, but you really don't, you know.
Just that's have fair. A beer in nature, though. I'm sure you can speak
to
that.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, having whiskey in the middle of nowhere is even awesome, too.
Right. No, and I think that so growing up, like, I grew up in town, but I had a lot of my cousins that were like, in the countryside. And we had plenty of bonfires and stuff, and then, you know, I thoroughly enjoyed them, you know, drinking and
when yeah, I said, see, that's a bonfire, though. You go home afterwards.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of, I guess I ultimately what it really boils down to, right, is the fact that I never really experienced it, and
that's fair.
And maybe it's something that I thoroughly enjoy, just being from kind of the countryside as well, from the country as well.
That's fair.
But yeah, I'm just like anything, going into something new that you're not familiar with. I think you always have a little hesitation. And that's about it.
I appreciate you for, you know, being so open and honest and raw with us, Josh. What's burning on your head, man? Not that head.
Sorry. No, I got a cream for that.
SPF 150.
The one thing that's usually always burning on my head a little bit, and I think everybody knows what that is. At least long-term listeners know what that is.
Whiskey?
Nah.
Star Wars.
Pussy?
Star Wars.
So, no. So, this year has been a very exciting year for Star Wars. they announced all kinds of Star Wars projects and just all kinds of exciting shows. There's a new one coming out this December. There's they've been showing more stuff about the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show that's going to happen. And it's just, it's so exciting. And, like, I know some people who call themselves Star Wars fans are like, oh, man, it's being so overdone. It's just, oh, it's all trash. And for me, it doesn't matter. I'm like, it's Star Wars. I really eat it up so hard. And it's going to, oh, it's going to be so
the
great.
The excitement. Like, yeah, all over your face right now. I was just like, I don't even know anything about Star Wars.
There's a special,
I'm like super interested.
It holds.
There's a special glow on your face.
Right, yeah, it's
a twinkle.
Part of that's the alcohol. But no, like genuinely, Star Wars holds a very special place in my heart. And I can't explain why. It's just once it finally caught with me at a certain age, it just never truly let go. It may have lightened at some points, but it never let go. Because, like, I can remember when the first time I saw Star Wars on a big screen was, I think it was, like, mid to late 90s when they did the special enhanced versions of the original trilogy. So I had seen those movies 1,000 times by that point in time. So seeing it on a big screen was so exciting. And then shortly after that, they announced the prequel trilogy, which was how Anakin Skywalker became Darth Vader and all this stuff. So that was awesome, and that took forever. Yeah. And I remember episode 3, which was Revenge of the Sith, is where Anakin officially becomes Darth Vader, the dude in the black suit who has a breathing problem, who, I mean, and there's this moment where the iconic suit is getting put on him because most of it's robot anyways, and so it's getting all put on, and the helmet gets put on, and the face part seals, the top part connects, and you hear that iconic Darth Vader breath for the first time. I'm sitting in the theater, literally on the edge of my chair, and I hear it. I have never had goosebumps that, like, hurt. I'm like, dude, if I was alone, something would have happened. Yeah. So, I mean, it was such an experience. So the fact that more and more Star Wars is coming, it's so exciting. And the fact that my son is getting into it too is even better.
So is he like a villain where he's almost loved as a villain?
Oh, yeah. Well, like that's how he was introduced. He was introduced as the bad guy.
Yeah, so the bad guy that was kind of loved more than the good guy.
Oh, yeah. He was known as the bad guy. And then the prequel trilogy came out, which explained his downfall to evil, which kind of made that character that much more intense. Right. And then it changed how you watch the original trilogy. But no lie, the one thing that changed Darth Vader for me was his appearance in the first unofficial episode movie called Rogue One. Up until that movie, they had all been episode 1, episode 2, blah, blah, blah. There's always been a number. This was the first one that was still tied into the story in a way, but it wasn't an episode movie. Darth Vader shows up at the very end where the rebels had stolen a very valuable piece of information, and they're trying to get it away from the bad guys. And I'm getting so excited thinking about it. So, okay, these guys are in this long, dark hallway, and they're trying to get through to their spaceship so they can get away. They hear the Darth Vader breath first, and they know the shit is about to go down. And then he ignites his bright red lightsaber. And at first, at that point in time, you only saw Darth Vader in this way in a very simple, controlled fighting style. And it wasn't anything to be crazy about. And it wasn't nothing. It wasn't anything crazy. In this, it wasn't even like a minute long scene. Like, it was very short. He is crushing people. Like, there's at one point where, like, a guy shoots a laser gun at him. He stops the bolt, and he, like, pushes it back at this guy. And then he uses the force to have a guy go up against the ceiling and then uses his lightsaber to, like, cut him in half. Like, it is brutal. And you're just like, no wonder everybody's, like, scared as shit of this guy. Like, he is intense. And, like, I remember sitting, again, at the edge of my seat going, this is one bad motherfucker. I mean, it just...
Hell yeah, man.
Oh, it was so awesome. And... he is officially coming back for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, which
has he maintained this level of stardom, I guess, where he's still the bad guy, but still like the loved bad guy.
Well, in certain circles, he has. Spoiler alert. At the end of Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm. Is that the newest movie?
No. Oh. Don't ever say that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It was the last movie of the original trilogy. So it came out early 80s.
Oh, okay, never mind. I
lied. Early to mid 80s is when Return of the Jedi came out. Where Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader fight. And then the Emperor, who is the big baddie, kind of gives him this last moment of, hey, you know, join my team and you'll be super powerful, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And he says, nah, man, I'm not going to do that. I'm a Jedi. Jedis don't do that shit. Mm-hmm. And then this main baddie has this way of, like, shooting lightning out of his hands. And so there's this scene where Luke Skywalker knows that Darth Vader is his father. He knows this by now. And so don't miss quote that, motherfucker. It's Luke. One of the biggest misquoted lines in Hollywood history.
Luke, I'm your father.
No, that's not it. Anyways.
Luke, I am your father.
Shut up. I will cut faces.
That's how I remember.
No, that's not what he says.
Luke, I am your father.
No.
Luke, no. I am your father. No.
I can't even right now.
That was great.
Michael. I can't
Sorry.
Even. Great
acting.
I can't even.
Great acting.
It was in Tommy anyway. Boy.
Yeah, they misquoted it.
Oh.
Not Tommy Boy. Not Tommy.
It wasn't Tommy Boy?
No, I'm just saying he wouldn't. Tommy would
he
not.
Spoke into the fan.
Yes, he misquoted
Luke,
it.
Luke, I am your father. Lalo, lalo. No? Okay, sorry. Sorry.
Fuck's sake. Anyways, Darth Vader saves his son. He's redeemed and all that other bullshit. So, like, he becomes a good guy again, but he's still used as a iconic influence for evil, though. Mm-hmm. Because when you go to the latest trilogy, which people hate and... they say they're fans, which I don't believe. Mm-hmm. One of the main villains has Darth Vader's helmet, which is like kind of crumpled and melted and like kind of like half destroyed. He uses it as like evil inspiration.
Man.
So it's like it's kind of crazy. But
I feel like a starship trooper. Is that what it? Sorry.
No.
Stormtrooper.
There you go.
Sorry. Every day I go through the warehouse and the automated door.
Now let me ask you something because you know, real quick, stormtroopers and Darth Vader, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have a very similar mass per se. No.
One's white, one's black.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't look at color.
No. Okay, so the listeners, you can't see. I actually own a Stormtrooper helmet and a Darth Vader helmet. So I'm pointing. Nobody else can see. That's a Stormtrooper helmet.
Right, I know.
And then above, on the second shelf of my bar at the far end, that's Darth Vader's helmet. They look nothing alike.
I'm about to check it out.
Other than color.
Right.
They look nothing alike.
Right.
Okay. So
I will definitely take a gander at that again. My perspective.
I'll get it down and we can put it side by side.
Okay. Fair
and you'll see how they're very different.
Fair enough.
All right. So, last five. Even though Ricardo talked a lot more for Micah's last five.
Oh, yeah.
He's dominant in the bed. Sorry.
Excuse
Whoa.
Me. Okay. Ricardo, make it happen.
All right. So, you know, we've been kind of living this last year or so under these guidelines of mask and no mask and social distancing and, you know, coronavirus, SARS, Delta.
SARS.
I don't know.
Hepatitis.
Gonorrhea. Well, I'm just kind of. Diabetes. Really, I'm really excited and kind of nervous at the same time about this where we're going as a country. As far as like the coronavirus, not just as a country, but as a state, where we're going. As far as that goes, you know what I mean? Like, almost back to normal, but how can you go back to normal when you've been living this new norm for over a year now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I see you read the email that our company is going back to no mask Monday if you are vaccinated, if you're vaccine waxed, and you can prove it. Now, I am going to go to HR and tell them that I am definitely
can
waxed.
Can you prove it?
I can definitely prove it on vax or not vax, wax. I don't know about.
Are you gonna just like throw it on the desk?
Yeah,
or?
I'm just gonna be like, bloop.
Like your.
That's the sound it's gonna make. Not a kaboom.
Bush.
Bloop. No, I'm definitely. Can I prove it? I think I have my vax card in the vax card in my car.
There you go.
I'm hoping.
I'm pretty sure I threw mine out.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous though, in a sense, just because we're so used to it. At least for me, I'm so used to like having that mask on, and just like some of a little layer of protection. No matter whether it works or not work, I'm not a fucking scientist. You know what I mean? I'm just a fucking box pusher. I can't say that too loud.
No,
but
you can't say that. No. Yeah.
But I am a
valued team member.
I am a box placement engineer.
box placement.
So
packaging specialist.
There you go.
That was awesome.
So I don't know exactly, you know, the exact science behind it, but I'm just kind of I'm kind of excited and kind of nervous at the same time. Just like,
that's fair.
And then, you know, life in general is really going back to normal for the most part. I mean, I think there's a lot of you know, besides your personal, you know, problems, you know,
or how you identify,
or how
yeah.
It's just like you know, stores or. My stores, but like restaurants, you know,
100% capacity next week.
Oh yeah. Shit, really?
No mask either.
Damn. Yeah. See, I didn't even know about that. I thought it was gonna still be at 50%, but
fully open.
You know, Michigan being one. What the hell are you doing, Kitty? I like you. sorry. So
studio cat.
So Michigan being one of the states that has had one of the most you know. One of the most severe,
aggressive, breach of rights.
High numbers. Okay, freedom per capita.
Yeah. No, I'm hoping and I'm nervous of going back to normal. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, I'm just like, at what point of my life or at what point will I feel comfortable enough to be in a, besides, you know, obviously, you know. All three of us being in this room, being in a large gathering without having to second guess myself as like, what am I doing in this setting, you know, surrounding?
I think you just need to hold hands.
Yeah, man.
No, that's exactly how you catch corona.
But you're vaccinated.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm vaccinated and waxed.
You have nothing to worry about. No, I think a big concern with going maskless. I think there's definitely going to be a small uptick in, you know, the virus itself. And with our company kind of asking you to disclose if you're vaccinated, definitely not comfortable with that. I think that kind of separates, creates division within the company. Mm-hmm. So I don't completely agree with that. And how the whole mask thing became a political debate is beyond me.
Trump 2024.
I don't even know where that started.
You got those crazy constitution thumpers who are like, America.
That'd be me. Go on.
Yeah, nah. You know, so I mean, but you know, here's the thing though. If you believe in America so much that you are going to push that kind of an agenda, you have to believe in the fact that there's a flip side, is that guess what? Your right and freedom to voice that opinion and have that opinion and say whatever the fuck you want gives that Joe Schmo the same write an opinion to do what the fuck he wants. So let's just say you have me, Joe Schmo, and other Joe Schmo.
I'm Freedom Fighter Joe Schmo.
So Freedom Fighter Joe Schmo and Vaccinated Joe Schmo.
Liberal.
Whatever. Potato, potato. He has the right to not get vaccinated. Nobody's saying he has to. Are they encouraging it? Sure. Are they saying you have to, otherwise you're going to get arrested? No.
Right, right.
Equally, I have the right to get vaccinated. Nobody's telling me I have to. Are they encouraging it? Sure. Do I decide to do it? Sure. Why not? Because guess what? Come a couple weeks, I don't have to wear a mask anymore. And it's there's kind of like a...
I think there's a big debate, though.
And
it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see people who are not not vaccinated to see if they're going to try to somehow...
Oh, I guarantee you they're going to try to. Like, I'm vaccinated. Yeah. Like, okay, show me your card. Like, no, man, that's not constitutional.
Yeah, I guess...
That's not America.
I guess you really can't... You can't force it. Just, I don't know.
It...
Are you going to ask for my tetanus card next? Or my hepatitis shot, you know.
See, you know what cracks me up is the people who are perfectly okay with like, oh yeah, I'll show you my my vaccination card, but it's like I have a problem with showing ID with voting. I'm gonna say this right now: if you have that opinion, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, I guess I never really understood that either, but that's anyways, I guess that's a different topic.
I think as I maybe that's next week. Yeah. Anyways. All right, folks, that was it was a little longer than 5 minutes each, but you know what? We've been drinking, and we're hot and fresh back, so mm-hmm. we're going to allow ourselves a little wiggle room. So, like I said, slightly a new show. Same faces with a new permanent face, mm-hmm. Mr. Micah.
Made it to the big time.
His contract, I don't want to divulge how much he's getting, but...
Yeah, we don't discuss that over there.
Let's just say there's a lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros.
And a lot of decimal points with those zeros. Not commas, decimal points.
Over many years, it will accumulate and it will exponentially grow, similar to a scenario in Office Space, and I will have a large dollar in my bank account.
Large dollar. Singular. Not dollars. Dollar. All right, folks. That's going to do it for us tonight. This has been episode 1, season 3 of Warehouse Rats. I'm sorry. That was funny. Warehouse Rats podcast. We're back. We're not black.
Yes, we
get
are.
Used to it.
Peace.
We're out.